Epilogue. While professionally and personally grueling, the University of New Mexico psychedelic drug research was undoubtedly the most inspiring and remarkable time in my life. The resumption of this work in the United States was my lifelong dream, and I'm glad to have been in the right place at the right time to do it. As a clinical research scientist with extensive psychotherapeutic and spiritual training and experience, I believed I was qualified to initiate this American renewal of human psychedelic research. In some ways I was, and in others I wasn't, ready for where the spirit molecule would lead us. We succeeded in opening a door that had remained tightly locked for a generation. However, the box, like Pandora's, once opened, let out a force with its own agenda and language. It was a power that healed, hurt, startled, and was indifferent in wild and unpredictable ways. At every turn I heard it call out in a voice that was tender, challenging, engaging, and frightening. But the question never changed. This is the same question that Saul, a volunteer whom we've not yet met, encountered on his first high-dose DMT session. Let's close with his story. A 34-year-old married psychologist, Saul was wiry and energetic, with a wry sense of humor and an intense gaze. He had taken psychedelics about 40 times and had been practicing meditation for nearly 20 years. I did my best to recruit research subjects with a background in meditation. They seemed more able to deal with the initial anxiety of the DMT rush, and also helped me compare meditation and drug-induced states of mind. Saul volunteered for the dose-response study because I've heard about DMT and have always wanted to try it. Plus, I like the idea of being able to try it in the hospital under medical supervision. Saul's low dose was mild, and he returned the following day for his 0.4 milligrams per kilogram session. Saul liked to write, and while my notes are rather complete, a letter he later sent to me does an even better job of describing his experience that day. The empty space in the room began sparkling. Large crystalline prisms appeared, a wild display of lights shooting off into all directions. More complicated and beautiful geometric patterns overlaid my visual field. My body felt cool and light. Was I about to faint? I closed my eyes, sighing, and thought, "My God." I heard absolutely nothing, but my mind was completely full of some sort of sound, like the after effects of a large ringing bell. I didn't know if I was breathing. I trusted things would be fine and let go of that thought before panic could set in. The ecstasy was so great that my body could not contain it. Almost out of necessity, I felt my awareness rush out, leaving its physical container behind. Out of the raging colossal waterfall of flaming color expanding into my visual field, the roaring silence and an unspeakable joy, they stepped, or rather emerged. Welcoming, curious, they almost sang, "Now do you see?" I felt their question pour into and fill every possible corner of my awareness. "Now do you see? Now do you see?" Trilling, sing-song voices exerting enormous pressure on my mind. There was no need to answer. It was as if someone had asked me on a blazing, cloudless midsummer afternoon in the New Mexico desert, "Is it bright? Is it bright?" The question and the answer are identical. Added to my yes was a deeper, "Of course." And finally, an intensely poignant, "At last." I stared with my inner eyes, and we appraised each other. As they disappeared back into the torrent of color, now beginning to fade, I could hear some sounds in the room. I knew I was coming down. I felt my breathing, my face, my fingers, and I was dimly aware of an encroaching darkness. Were there flames, smoke, dust, battling troops, enormous suffering? I opened my eyes. This concludes DMT, the spirit molecule.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.